on this episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Hey guys, part two of Making Up Monsters, the Psychology of Halloween. Today, we'll be talking about hallows, haunts, and scary places. Join us for the episode if you dare.
Welcome to Therapy Bites Art Lab, where Dr. Heath and his special guests share real-life stories of helping and healing. Fresh from the actual therapy couch, while taking a bite out of common counseling missteps and misconceptions. And now, here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
Hey guys, welcome to the show today. This is the second of a two-part episode, The Psychology of Halloween, Making Up Monsters. Goodness, why would we as humans do such a thing? Make up monsters with which we can experience fear. Well, the psychology of it is that we love experimenting with fear because there's lots of things in life based on how we decide to think of it that our thoughts manufacture fear. Halloween is a wonderful time to experiment with that. And today we're talking about hallows, haunts, and scary places. The brain tends to geotag places as either safe for us or unsafe for us. And if we tell ourselves that a certain situation, a certain setting is unsafe for us, then the brain is all of a sudden going to leverage resources to help us run away. I have here with us today our brave psychotherapy adventurers, Heather. No, Heather is out today. Oh, or maybe she's just the invisible woman. Ooh. Heather? Heather? Heather, are you here? No? You can't speak when you're invisible? Aww. Actually, Heather has a migraine. We're hoping she'll be better and she'll be back next time. We actually recorded both these episodes on the same day. It's not as if Heather's having regular weekly migraines here, but we do wish her the best. Yes. Actually, we have Debbie and Sarah here with us. And we're here to share our spooky personal stories and some scary psychological concepts. Again, welcome to the show. What are some places that are scary for you guys?
Haunted houses.
Yeah.
Haunted houses. Scary movies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Roller coasters.
I actually went to my first
Halloween roller coaster.
Yeah. The car wash when people pop out at you. You have a Halloween. They have a Halloween thing at Tommy's Express here in town.
Oh, my.
They do, where you go through and people jump out at you while you're going through the car wash.
I've never heard of that. How cool is that? Mm-hmm. A Halloween car wash. Yeah. That's fantastic. I'm not sure if there's really a scary place for me anymore. When I was a kid, I used to just be afraid of the dark in general. And I always slept with a nightlight. And once upon a time, I decided enough was enough. And the house where I lived in, I went into the garage. I turned all the lights out. In the garage, strangely enough, I decided it would be helpful to close my eyes. And I just let myself be there in the darkness with my eyes closed in the middle of the night, standing there. And I don't remember what I was standing there in, probably my PJs or something. And I just stayed there. And at first, I felt a lot of fear. And that was because my brain conjured up all kinds of things, such as vampires and demons and zombies and just different weird creatures that would come out and suck my brain out of my ear and eat my face off. And strangely, none of that happened. If you're seeing us on a video, you can see I still have a face. Nothing you put on a men's magazine or anything, but my face is intact after that experiment. And that's one of the best ways to confront what is typically labeled as a fear, which in Therapy Bites Art Lab, we call that a gray herring, because while your brain cells are gray, in debate, a red herring is a distraction from the logic of the argument or from the argument itself. In our profession, we call it a gray herring because it is a brain cell-based distraction of the focus of what's really going on. And when you talk about your, quote, fears, it's not the fear at all. That's a distraction. It's actually what is it that you're thinking about a certain place, space, situation that is manufacturing that fear. Debbie, you said haunted houses or even car washes, which is really kind of odd. I think that's a first time for me. There's probably a phobia listed for that. I've never met someone who had fear based on what they decided to think about a car wash. But just what are you telling yourself?
Well, just a haunted car
wash. Oh, only
wash.
The, not only a regular car wash.
No, just the haunted one.
In other words, it might be okay today because it's not haunted.
Yes.
But if it's haunted, then you'll avoid it.
Yes.
And what thoughts are you having about that that leads you to have the fear you have?
I think what I tell myself is it's the fear, I've called it the fear of the unknown, not knowing what's going to happen, not what's going to pop out at me. Just being startled, the startle response, not being in control.
And you're getting there. See, that's all great stuff. Let's talk about the fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. Think about this logically. No one has or can have, it's just not possible to have, a fear of what you don't know. Because if you literally don't know what it is, flipper fidget. Yep. Watch out for those flipper fidgets. They'll get you. They'll eat your face off and suck your brains out of your ear. Now, none of you listening are probably quaking in your Halloween boots right now because you don't know what a flipper fidget is. I just made it up. I actually made it up decades ago, and I've used it ever since. But since you don't know what a flipper fidget is, you're incapable of manufacturing catastrophic thoughts about the flipper fidget, and then those catastrophic thoughts manufacture the fear. Therefore, you are incapable of having fear of the unknown because you there's nothing to be afraid of. Actually, what's going on in the brain, and we're back to the psychology of Halloween, what's going on in the brain is you do know what you're afraid of. You're just not putting your proverbial finger on it. And basically, generally speaking, you're telling yourself, there's something harmful or potentially harmful to me. If I put myself in this situation, I may suffer because of it. I may be killed. I may be wounded. I may, you know, suffer some ill fate. I might have emotions that I don't like, and I think Debbie kind of alluded to that. Yeah. But then you're telling yourself that there's something about experiencing those emotions that is harmful. Is this making sense?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And what's your take on it now?
Sense. Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. And even the fear of the unknown thing makes sense because it's, when I think about it, it's really not that I don't know what's going to happen. It's what I'm manufacturing in my mind that could. I'm catastrophizing and fortune telling, and it's true. It's true. And yes, it's true. And I and it does, you know, it pairs up with scary things from the past. And so I'm trying to think of what I'm trying to express what I'm thinking.
Well, I think, you know, some of it might too. Now, I really don't watch scary movies, but, you know, you figure if you watch a scary movie, what usually happens, right? If it's a similar situation to a haunted house, but somebody gets brutally murdered or, you know, something true. Really horrible happens to them. So I'm wondering if maybe your brain picks up on having seen maybe some of those things when you were younger and then associates that with the whole kind of Halloween horror theme. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be brutally murdered or something like that.
Well, yes, because what's really going on is you're not back 20, 30, 40 years ago. You can only be in the now. You can only be in the present.
Correct.
But your brain is kind of time traveling and connecting what happened then. And then your brain is reacting as if it were happening now.
It makes sense.
But it's not happening now. Now, what is the thing that's happening now? Well, the thing that's happening now is you're having an emotion. Mm-hmm. But just because you're having an emotion that you remember experiencing 30 years ago, doesn't mean that like 30 years ago when you may very well have been unsafe, that does not mean you're not safe now, but your brain will tell you that because you got so used to associating emotion, I'm not safe, emotion, I'm not safe, emotion, I'm not safe, until that was very, very deeply encoded in the brain and became just as automatic as ambulation. Ambulation is walking across the floor. You don't think about left foot, right foot, you just walk across the floor. You just put one foot in front of the other. In this case, your brain is putting one foot in front of the other, but that left foot, right foot thing it's doing with this information is saying, every time I have now the experience of anxiety or irritation or some panic, that must mean that I'm also not safe now. And that's what we try to reprogram. We clinicians, that's our job. We try to help people take back control of their lives and reprogram these things. And does that mean that they'll never experience fear again, never experience anxiety, never experience panic? No, it does not mean that. And that wouldn't be a good idea anyway. If you lost the ability to experience some anxiety, here's what would happen. I'll use the example of a city bus. Somebody would say, "Hey, buddy, look out, bus." "Oh, don't worry about that bus. I'm going to be okay." And then splat, you've just been run over by a city bus. Mm-hmm. See, a little bit of anxiety can kind of rivet your attention, focus your attention, help you perform. But that there is a point to where that adversely impacts functional status. And that's really the question. It's not a question of whether I have anxiety. The question is it adversely impacting my functional status? What is that? Well, eating, sleeping, bathing, brushing your teeth, paying your taxes, going to work, checking the mail, all those things, functional status.
You've got your Halloween decorations up and it's walking towards you, Heath. Spider.
Oh, a spider. Oh, my goodness.
There's a big
spider
walking towards you.
Okay, arachnophobia. You guys continue. I'm going to check it right here.
See, he's going to come visit you.
Oh, yeah. Here. I'm going to help him on to the afterlife. Oh, he jumped.
Oh, he got away.
He escaped. Yeah.
Anybody got acrophobia?
Well, I find it interesting, too, how different people react differently to being scared. So, you know, there's some people who it just doesn't faze them. Mm-hmm. They just keep walking. Some people start laughing hysterically, like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe that got me," you know.
Yep.
Did that get you too? You know, and then there's some that are just, you know, like, and I know y'all in the podcast can't, you know, that are listening to the podcast can't see me, but I've got my eyes nice and wide. And
deer in the headlights.
So, yeah, deer in the headlights.
She's got the big eyeball look. This is the big eyeball face.
Yeah, and then there's, and then I wish Heather was here.
Yeah.
So she could give us one of her screams.
Oh, she has award-winning.
She has award-winning.
Anybody who films Halloween films should hire Heather to do their Halloween screams.
She's the best.
And we don't have a good screaming effect here on our little dashboard, so I can't use that. Nothing really quite fits.
This podcast is HIPAA compliant. No identifying patient information will be disclosed without permission from patients or guardians. All personal stories will be de-identified in order to comply with HIPAA, the NASW Code of Ethics, and the Ethical Principles of Psychologists and Code of Conduct.
On today's personal interest story, I would like to share that we've had many patients who struggle after traumas and accidents related to a place. The brain can actually geotag a certain location such that every time you go to that location, you have a fear response. But where is that fear response coming from? It's not coming from the place. It's not coming from the venue. It's not coming from the situation. It's coming from what you or I have chosen to tell ourselves about that particular event, situation, circumstance. If you want to reduce the difficult emotions related to a location, instead of avoiding the location, choose to change your thinking about the location. We first engineer our thoughts, and our thoughts engineer our lives.
You're listening to Therapy Bites Art Lab, bite-sized therapy for your brain with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball Team. The best advice on the net. No copay required.
This is a two-part episode, so I'm airing a two-part social media debate. There is a current thought, kind of a collective consciousness going around about safe spaces. And, you know, that's one of our HVTs. That's one of our Therapy Bites Art Lab high-value targets. Why is that? Why would we come out and speak against all the safe space nonsense? Because it's just bad programming. When you begin to tell your brain, like a person did on social media I had a debate with recently, that there are actually safe spaces, then guess what? Your brain begins to believe that, and your world narrows and narrows and narrows and narrows. It is a slippery slope that, take my word for it, psychologically, you do not want to step foot on. If you label this as an unsafe space and never go there and never allow yourself to experience that, then your brain will downgrade to the next situation and the next situation and the next situation until there's all these, quote, unsafe spaces out there, and your world narrows into a pinprick of existence. Don't do that to yourself. It's so self-sabotaging, and let's not do that with our children. Let's teach our children that you have power. Let's teach our children that they can take control of what they decide to think about events, situations, and circumstances. Think this Halloween about experiencing situations, circumstances that you've told yourself were unsafe. Think about that. What evidence do you have that they're unsafe? If you're telling yourself that a meeting is unsafe, is it really unsafe? Is it really a threat to your existence? Or is it simply because someone is saying something that you don't want to hear? News alert. People saying what you don't want to hear does not mean that you're not safe. Take back your power this Halloween.
Today's social media spotlight, we have a very special creature. We have our Sisquatch. Sisquatch likes to squash inaccurate, unrealistic thoughts and help promote arty, accurate, realistic thoughts. So go check out our social media pages and our Shopify to see if you can find him.
But our brain geotags to locations, and one of those could be an intersection where there was a wreck. It could be a certain type of room, and I literally mean a type of room. It could be something happened in a kitchen that was literally a risk to life or limb. People loosey-goosey use of the word trauma, where it's been so widely used, it's actually losing its meaning. It's on social media. Maybe you were traumatized because your parents didn't buy you a candy bar every week or something ridiculous like that. But trauma, the definition for that is something that put you at risk of life or limb, or someone you know at risk for life or limb. And let's not overgeneralize the word trauma, or it literally becomes useless. But the brain can geotag for different types of rooms, different types of vehicles, different types of settings. Some people have had something, you know, threatened to them at a Quick Mart, maybe if the Quick Mart was robbed. Airplanes, if someone's been in an airplane crash. Automobiles, if there's been an automobile crash. What are some other types of situations you've seen or heard of that the brain has geotagged for avoidance?
A couple that I've heard a lot, soldiers who come home from a combat zone, or people who maybe who've been in prison for years and years and years and years, and then they're just kind of thrown back into, you know, regular life.
Of course, I'm glad you brought that up. The brain can geotag for different objects in a location. I've had patients who, when I used to have a home-based office, I now have a actual detached building where I have my office, but they could actually see into the kitchen where there was a butcher block of knives, and their brain was geotagged for that butcher block of knives. And I've had several, not just one or two, actually would ask me to move the butcher blocks of knives, which opened up a great avenue for talking about, well, yes, we could move those, but let's talk about the wisdom of not moving them. And again, that is called exposure and response prevention. If you have thoughts that manufacture fear, thoughts that manufacture anxiety, thoughts that manufacture panic, thoughts that manufacture irritation, and all those are manufactured by thought-based processes, not other people and not the situation. If anxiety was simply connected to a location, then every human that went to that location must have anxiety. if objects actually caused anxiety, then everyone introduced to those objects would have to have anxiety. We know that's not true. Therefore, what's going on individually or intrapsychically is somewhere in the fiddle-faddling of your neurons, you have some thoughts that are manufacturing these emotions, which you're welcome to do. We're here to share with you that you have a choice. Isn't that great? That you have a choice on your personal programming. What are some of the choices you guys have made with your personal programming?
Oh, I have a very, very recent one. In fact, 2 weeks ago today, we were going to get our podcasting started, recording, but it was interrupted by a car accident. Heather and I were involved in a double cruncher, the Malachi Crunch, if anybody has watched Happy Days, where somebody hit us really hard from behind and three times the same car pushed us into the truck in front of us. And I purposely, that day when I left the hospital, had my husband drive down the exact same route that it took place. And I have driven, in these last 2 weeks, I have purposely driven that route at least 10 times.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And just, you know, rewired my thinking and focused on thankfulness and just focused on, it's just a road. You know, I have been driving since I was 16 and I'm at least 36 now. No, I've been driving a long time.
At least
I've had insurance for 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that math doesn't add up.
No, you know,
I'm 36. Well. I've had insurance. I had insurance 40 years before I was born.
That's right. And I've never had an accident like that. So the chances of that happening now, I will say, I am still a little jittery, and when I'm driving and somebody approaches up behind me, I tense up a little, but that's normal.
That's normal.
But I just process it.
Because that connection
through it
eventually will go away.
Yes. Right. It will.
I've got similar to that situation because whenever they were in the accident, I was on the phone with them, so I got to hear all the wonderful things that go along with a car crash.
Yeah, all the, three of them.
And then Heather's award-winning scream.
Yes.
Yeah. So that evening when I went home, I did okay throughout the day. You know, I was definitely shaken and everything, all the normal stuff
not
that comes
stirred
through it. Yeah, shaken, not stirred. I was 007. but when I got home that night, I kind of just started thinking about it again, and then I'd close my eyes and I would hear everything that I heard on the phone, and I had to just keep reminding myself, and I told my husband this too, so he could kind of know what was going on too, but that's, you know, normal, that it doesn't mean that every time I close my eyes I'm going to hear that, and that eventually, you know, I'm going to be able to close my eyes and I'm not going to hear that. And it was really the next day that I didn't hear that when I closed my eyes anymore. It was just that one night that I heard that. And then also this next Tuesday, the Tuesday after the crash, the road that I was on when they called is not one that I'm usually on unless I'm coming to the office to do supervision and record the podcast. But I was driving past that same area, and I wasn't even really thinking about it much. And then I started, you know, I guess implicitly I was thinking about it. And I started, you know, kind of shaking again. And then I was like, oh, this is the first time I've driven past here since that happened. And I just reinforced that doesn't mean it's going to happen again. It doesn't mean if somebody calls me that it's going to be a car accident. You know, just reinforcing the healthy thoughts and trying to take it from a healthy perspective.
Accurate, realistic thoughts. Mm-hmm. That stands for, we use Artie. He's our lovable little neuron promotes accurate, realistic thoughts.
This little guy right here.
beef up on those Arties over Halloween by exposing yourself to scary things, because you can get really, really, really good at putting the emotion of fear, the emotion of being scared, the emotion of being jittery, the emotion of being nervous in perspective. You can get good at that, or you can get really good at catastrophizing those emotions, and then your brain will overgeneralize and spread out like a huge radar to everything. Mm-hmm. Your brain will annex all these other situations. Like this person on social media that I pointed out, I think this was the last episode, where the debate was about, hey, you're coming on here on social media. It's on Tumblr. You know, Tumblr can be a very offensive place, actually. There's lots of just vile garbage spewed by a few bad actors. Mm-hmm. And they're just a whole, their own little barrel of rottenness. And we're on there calling them out because, just a quick point here, because if they say this kind of things to us, well, they're out there saying it to your children. If you have a kid and they're on Tumblr, here is a parental warning. Look over their shoulder. Look at what they're typing. Look at what they're reading. They may be the bully, or they may be the one being bullied. And goodness, we're a bunch of grown people here, and we have these bad actors, these keyboard cowards as we call them, hiding like cowards behind their computer screens, getting their jollies, bullying other people. Now, if it's us, if it's just us, gosh, we could care less, you know, we could care less. But if they do it to us, well, they may be doing it to your children, 12, 13 years old. I mean, Tumblr says you've got to be 13 to be on there, but goodness, if you're 11 or 10 or even 9 and you want to enter a false birthday, you can get on Tumblr, as far as I know. But this is why we do this. But this individual, he was trying to bully us, and he said, you're coming on here invading my safe space. Look, Tumblr's not your safe space. I mean, I guess it actually is a safe space. It's not as if we, you know, someone can plant an IED or a hand grenade that comes at you through your computer screen. But evidently, if this individual's being genuine, their belief is that someone has the power to come through their computer screen and make them think that they're not safe. Well, I would say grow some internal locus of control. Don't farm out your locus of control, your mindset, to what? Pixels in a pattern on a computer screen? I mean, let's get real now. Pixels on in a pattern on a computer screen. How can that be unsafe if you're an adult? Now, if you're a kid, it's a different matter. Mm-hmm. But as an adult, take back your power. Your power is based on what you decide to think, not what some other person decides to do. Right. But Halloween is a great time to experiment with haunts and hallows and scary places, because you can get really, really good at experiencing fear and not catastrophizing it. Mm-hmm. How have you guys overcome some fear that you've had historically?
It's always been, for me, it's always been exposure, just allowing myself to be exposed to what it is, feel what I'm feeling, you know, embracing and accepting those feelings, and then just differentiating. How's this different from, you know, what has been a threat in the past? It's not a threat now.
Right. And just trying to stay longer and longer each time, if it's a place. You know, or if it's a person, just starting by thinking about the person. And then, you know, if you do run into the person, just talking to them and kind of in your head going over, well, what's going to happen if what's really going to happen?
What's the worst?
Yes.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, they can't eat me.
You know,
no.
They'd have to eat me a bite at a time.
Yeah, and I'm not going to sit there while they use a fork and a knife on me.
Yeah, if somebody gets out their steak knives, it's time to run away.
Definitely. Yeah.
A couple things is to be present and breathe.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that too.
If the evidence shows that there is no danger here, and we always encourage people to look at the evidence, then you can let yourself be in that present moment and breathe. When you breathe in, focus on the in-breath. When you breathe out, focus on the out-breath. Bring your attention to your breathing. When you go to a haunted house, a spook, a haunted mansion,
haunted car wash,
a haunted car wash,
scary movie in the theater,
some spooky place this Halloween, focus on your breathing. And here's the little mantra that I like to use that you're welcome to steal. My brain is the train, my breath is the track. My breath keeps my brain on track. I kind of borrowed that from Thich Nhat Hanh and revised it. He was one of the great fathers of mindfulness. Mm-hmm. My brain is the train. My breath is the track. My breath keeps my brain on track. And that really works. You can really do some cool neurological engineering with that, and it'll become second nature to you. I encourage you to do that this time. A couple of things on what Sarah said is she was promoting her brain's accommodating new knowledge. Accommodation is a great thing. Incorporating new things into your brain, and the new things she was incorporating was, I can drive this route and I can still be safe. Mm-hmm. I can, Debbie did the same thing. I can drive this route and I can still be safe. Mm-hmm. I can have a conversation, a difficult conversation. If you're in a relationship and you think that you're unsafe because your spouse is passionate during a conversation, well, no. That doesn't mean you're unsafe. Words do not mean you're unsafe. Now, if they pick up an axe or something like that, or a toaster oven, then yes, I would, as they say on the new Karate Kid series, Cobra Kai, what Mr. Miyagi used to say is, be not there. Be not there. If you're going to pick up an axe or toaster oven, I will be not there. But words do not mean that you're not safe. So don't decide that. Breathe and focus on your breathing. If you have a difficult conversation with a boss, with a parent, breathe and focus on your breathing. Words and situation do not necessarily mean that you're not safe. Look at the evidence. All right, we're about to run out of time on our show today. Any last parting comments, folks?
I don't think so.
What time do I pick y'all up Halloween to go through that car wash
together? Oh, it's got to be midnight.
It's a date. I'll bring
the
popcorn.
Yes, it's got to be a midnight car wash. That's right. Or 12:01. What's that called? Not to offend anybody, but the witching hour. I'm just saying that playfully. I'm not into a witchcraft or anything like that. I do like to watch stuff on TV, the new Hocus Pocus movie. I've not seen that yet. It's all in fun. I don't take it seriously. Thank you for joining us today. We wish you a happy Halloween. Be safe out there. Be kind to each other. If you've got it in you and you're firm and okay with yourself, then stand up to the bullies. Mm-hmm. Stand up to the bullies. All that is required for bullying to continue is for good people to say nothing. Stand up to the bullies. We do that on social media every day, every chance we get. This Halloween, I want to say, to me, the scariest thing are bullies. Not to me, but because if they do it to you, if they do it to me, they're doing it to some helpless, defenseless child. Stand up to bullies. Catch us on the next episode.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Bye-bye.
What is a vampire's favorite phobia? Isotrophobia. If you have a fear of mirrors or a fear of seeing yourself in the mirror, you may be isotrophobic, or maybe you're just a vampire.
Hey, everybody. Today's site quote is by Philip K. Dick, and it is, "Reality denied comes back to haunt."
Hey, guys, I want to ask you this Halloween to hop over to our YouTube page for some scary videos, and I'd like to point out one of those is Psychotherapy from Hell. We have two videos on that, I think. Watch them all. Like them, save them, share them. If you think they might be useful to somebody else, there's nothing worse, there's nothing scarier than Psychotherapy from Hell. We love your comments. We love your shares. Thanks for being here.
Hey, T-Ballers. Thanks so much for being with us today. If we brought value to your day, show us some love by leaving your positive feedback and inviting some friends to listen in and join the T-Ball team. Next time on Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Hey guys, welcome once again to Therapy Bites Art Lab. And today we're going to talk about the magic of making matters worse. Did you know that reality is not constructed out there? Reality is constructed where? Right inside of the vault of your own brain. Today we'll talk about how we can make matters better or how we can make matters worse just based on how we decide to think about things. Join us on the episode coming up.